Welcome back, everybody, to Tales from the Ranger's Grove. I am your host, Russ Johnson. I'm very excited because today we get to start a brand new book, Bloodborne, Tales from the Land of Calder, by Rose Malick. Her first fantasy book, which is available right now on Amazon, but she has graciously agreed to let me read it here on my podcast. I think you'll like Bloodborne. It's back into the realm of fantasy that most of us are accustomed to, and it feels kind of like an RPG game brought to life. So, without any further delays, Bloodborne by Rose Malick. Chapter 1. An Evening in the Tavern. The Black Dragon Inn was small, but since it was the only one in town, its tavern was almost always bright and occupied, much to the displeasure of the dark elf tucked away in the corner. Like most Dumarin, her eyes were sensitive to the light, and in the open room, light was everywhere. They glowed pale violet in the shadow of the hood covering her face. The hood was partly to block the light, but also to keep people from seeing her dark, elven features. Her kind wasn't exactly seen as trustworthy. She had a black cloth mask around her neck, but it was hot and uncomfortable to wear, so she left it down. She absentmindedly fiddled with a coin, making it roll across her fingers as she glanced around the room. Someone threw another log on the already large fire, sending sparks into the air. She pulled her hood even farther over her face as the flare of light stung her eyes. The tavern had many guests that night, and from her spot in the corner, she could see nearly everyone. Some patrons sat huddled around large tables filling the room, drinking and laughing. Others stood in groups, talking loudly. Torches were mounted on the dark wood walls, adding to the light. Wooden pillars were spaced evenly across the room, supporting the second floor, which was a nicely furnished inn. The scents of smoke, alcohol, and various roast meats mingled in the warm air, and a group of bards were playing loud, cheerful music. She looked around, scanning the busy room and attempting to pick out possible threats. She wasn't being actively hunted, at least as far as she knew, but with her background, she could never be too careful. The tavern was busy this evening. There were many humans from many different backgrounds and cultures mingling over drinks and lively conversations. Their kind was common almost everywhere, and they were considered the jack-of-all-trades race because of just how widespread their skill sets tended to be. They also were usually overlooked by just about everyone due to their prevalence. Nearly as common as the humans were the elves. She was fairly sure she was the only Dumarin, or Dark Elf, but there were several Thalassar, more commonly called Wood Elves. Usually, fair-skinned, light-haired hunters, the Thalassar were what everyone thought of when someone mentioned elves. A few Moon Elves, or Meriannon, were among the group of patrons as well. Their pale skin and contrasting dark hair were fairly eye-catching. They were also incredibly common. A Renarin, a Light Elf, with chocolate-colored skin, white blonde hair, and gold eyes, stood out among the rest of the patrons. A hawk perched on his shoulder was looking around with wide, dark eyes, taking in all it could see. As she watched it, it flew off his shoulder, snatched a bit of meat from a nearby table, and perched back on its owner's shoulder with a proud look in its eyes. No one at the table even noticed it. They were too focused on a rowdy game of cards. Among the patrons at the table was a trio of half-orcs. The similarity in their features caught her eye. She guessed they were brothers. They were definitely some of the most exuberant people at the table, and they were probably at least a little drunk. The Dark Elf hadn't spent too much time around orcs, or even half-orcs for that matter, but she had heard that their kind tended to be less aggressive and bloodthirsty than their full-blooded cousins. That didn't change the fact that they were still just as powerful and imposing. As the Dark Elf was about to turn her attention away from them, one slammed a fist on the table before them, shouting something. This got a few others to stand up, mad and very drunk. "What'd you say about me?" A human snapped, trying to get in the half-orc's face. That wasn't working too well. He only came up to his opponent's chest.
"I said you was a dirty cheat!"
the half-orc shouted, stooping to be nearer his level.
You got two aces up your sleeve, and you thought we wouldn't notice.
I got nothing.
Then show us your sleeve. I know you got cards up there.
No.
The half-orc tried to grab the man's arm, but the human took that opportunity to throw a punch. His fist was caught by someone before the strike landed. The dark elf's eyes widened a little when she saw that the person who caught the hit was a dragonkin. Like most of his kind, he looked very much like a dragon, but standing upright in a humanoid form and lacking wings. From what she'd seen, most of his kind were tall and strongly built, and he was no exception. He wore a set of half-plate armor and carried a greatsword strapped to his back. The dark elf knew members of his race were occasionally called Scaleborn, even though the term seemed slightly derogatory to many, because it was a little easier to pronounce and simpler to remember than their actual name, Thrakai. The difference in simplicity was barely distinguishable to the dark elf. There were many stories about how they came to exist, but the most common one in this part of the land was that they had initially come from ancient dragons and humans merged through some fluke of magic a millennia ago. According to the rumors, they had managed to survive well enough to establish small clans or band together in roving groups. Other stories suggested that they had always existed as some bizarre thing that the world had kept tucked away for years upon years. Still, more said that they were the descendants of humans and dragons that took on humanoid forms through magic. No one was sure what to believe. They were powerful and often noble, but some individuals were notorious for being dangerous, violent, and dragon-like, which gave their kind as a whole a bad reputation. The warrior who was facing off against the human was the same height as the orc, around a head taller than most of the other people in the tavern, and his fine brass scales glinted in the firelight as he moved. Thrakai weren't very common anywhere, especially since they tended to stay in their own little groups, so he was an odd sight. They were nearly unheard of in small towns such as the one she was in, a mere legend or old wives' tale. However, this one was quite real.
"Take it outside,"
the Thrakai ordered. His voice was surprisingly quiet and calm for the situation, but the message got across. The human pulled his hand away and backed up quickly. The half-orc seemed less intimidated.
"What you gonna do about it?"
he challenged.
"Do you want to find out?"
a dwarf asked, coming up behind the Thrakai. His kind was a good bit shorter than humans on average, but not so much as to be a tripping hazard for the races taller than most. Most members of his kind looked quite alike to the dark elf, but she could tell that there were two distinct parties. The more commonly seen type by far was the mountain dwarves, who often stayed only a few miles below the surface. However, a few of the people in the tavern were Dunizar, or Deep Folk, as they called themselves. The Dunizar were often considered true dwarves, living many miles underground and only emerging when they had to. Like her, they had adapted to living in the dark, so light was an annoyance for them. The individual who had just joined the conflict was unremarkable by mountain dwarf standards, with unruly red-brown hair and a long beard braided with dull silver bands. His dark, beady eyes glittered in the light of the torches. His nose was crooked, suggested it had been badly broken more than once, and the visible parts of his face had many scars. Like most mountain dwarves, he was short, stocky, and had strong, rugged features. He sported a worn, riveted male shirt over rough-spun clothes. A large hand axe was on his hip, across from an iron-banded warhorn. The half-orc, either braver than most or too drunk to care about the two people in front of him, scoffed.
"Come at me, then!"
The dwarf grinned and drew his axe, but the Thrakai motioned for him to stop.
"Back up. We are not doing this right now."
The dwarf huffed. The half-orc rolled his eyes and threw a punch at the Thrakai's head. By all rights, it should have hit, but the Thrakai disagreed. He ducked and retaliated with a quick right hook that took the half-orc to the ground.
"I said, we aren't doing this right now."
The half-orc looked up at him, a little scared now, and gave a nod. He turned to walk away, followed by the dwarf. The dark elf followed them as they made their way to a table near the back wall. There were two other people there, a halfling and a half-orc. The dark elf had seen halflings many times before. They were a cheerful race of people who had descended from a merging of dwarves and elves. They tended to be very small, shorter even than dwarves. It was common for someone to make the mistake of assuming a halfling was a human child. They were typically corrected quite fast. Halflings were fairly common in small towns such as the one she was in, and almost all of them seemed quite friendly. They were often seen as quite trustworthy. Most of them upheld this standard, being honest businessmen and playing fair. But a few took this trust and used it to become expert con artists, betting on the fact that many wouldn't suspect them just because of their race's reputation. The one she now saw was dressed in brightly colored clothes common among his kind, with flaxen hair and round, cheerful features. His pale blue eyes darted between his companions as he spoke. He seemed excited and very chatty, and she didn't see any visible weapons or armor on him. The half-orc appeared to be more orcish blood than human blood. His features were strong and pronounced, and he had large, protruding tusks. His greenish-gray skin was streaked with white war paint, and most of his coarse black hair was tied up in a thick ponytail. A few bits had slipped free and fell around his shoulders and face, enhancing his rugged, wild look. He was wearing simple hide armor, showing off his intimidating physique, and had a large, wicked-looking double-bladed battle axe resting against the table next to him. He held a mug of ale that he kept nearly spilling as he gestured with it. As the Thrakai and dwarf returned to the table, the halfling turned to grin at them.
"Getting into trouble already?"
"Stop in trouble more like it," the dwarf answered. "Varun decided to be all noble and not let a fight break out."
"I was going to just drag them outside," the Thrakai Varun said.
"Sure you were, soldier boy."
The halfling's eyes sparkled as he grinned.
"Sure you were."
Even though she'd been keeping an eye out, the dark elf didn't remember seeing them come in. They'd likely been here for a while, maybe waiting for someone. "Don't get involved, Fala," she whispered to herself. "They're probably nothing but trouble." Her curiosity got the better of her, however. Trying, as usual, to move unnoticed, she made her way back across the tavern and perched on one of the few unclaimed barstools. Slipping through the crowd was easy for her. Her small, lithe frame allowed her to fit through gaps between patrons without alerting them to her presence. It took a few minutes, but the bartender, a gruff ex-mercenary named Karnak, made his way over to her, wiping down a mug. He was a tough-looking orc, scarred and missing one eye, but she knew he wasn't as mean as he looked. Tiberius, a stray black cat that he had adopted and kept in the tavern, meandered across the bar to her and began purring as she petted him.
"What can I get you, little one?"
Karnak asked, recognizing her.
"The usual?"
"Yes, please."
"Right away. That'll be 2 silver.
She placed 2 small silver coins on the counter as Karnak went to get her drink. It was a simple shot of whiskey from one of the stronger varieties available. It was potent enough to mess with nearly anyone's head. But she didn't plan on actually drinking it. She'd only bought it to get Karnak in a good mood. He set it on the bar in front of her.
"One shot, as usual. Will that be all for you, little one?"
he asked, using the nickname he'd given her about a month before, the first time she was in the tavern. She'd never told him her name. He'd never asked.
"One shot," she echoed, "and a bit of information."
"What would you like to know?"
She sighed. She knew getting involved with anyone could spell trouble for her, but a bit of information couldn't hurt that much.
"Those people over there." She pointed to the group that had caught her eye. "What do you know about them?"
"I don't usually give away information about my customers."
"You're not giving it away."
She flipped a gold coin onto the counter. It landed with a satisfying clink.
"I'm buying it."
Karnak's good eye widened a bit as he saw the coin. Gold pieces were uncommon in small backwoods towns, such as the one she was in, and were considered very valuable.
They were worth about 10 silver, but people often acted as though they were worth much more.
I don't know much about them, but I haven't seen them around here before. I heard them questioning a few of my other customers a bit ago. Something about kidnappings. One of the people they talked to seemed to have been waiting for them and handed over a map. It was none of my business, and they weren't hurting or bothering anyone, so I didn't pay much attention. There've been a lot of strange people here tonight. Those four you're asking about are part of a larger group, at least 7 people, and there may be more of them here.
Karnak pocketed the gold.
I'd keep an eye on my coin purse if I were you. Now, remember, this was just between you and me. If anyone asks, I never said anything.
And I didn't hear anything, she agreed. Thanks, Karnak.
Any time, little one.
Giving Tiberius one more scratch, she picked up the shot and moved back through the tavern, depositing the drink in front of an off-duty guardsman who looked like he'd already pushed himself pretty far beyond his limit. She brushed the cat hair off her arm and began edging towards the group that had caught her eye. She knew how to remain unseen, and no one seemed to take any interest in her as she approached, sticking to the shadows. As she got closer to the group, she could see that a worn map was spread on the table between them. They had been talking quietly, but Vala was close enough to hear them. She leaned against one of the tree trunk-like pillars, far enough to be unnoticed, but close enough to see and hear everything that happened. She hoped to figure out what they were talking about, even though she knew she'd missed most of the conversation.
And you really don't trust that guy?
The halfling asked, picking a piece of blonde hair out of his face.
If you mean our employer, I trust him. Varun, the Thrakai warrior, answered. If you mean the man who gave us the map, I don't know.
Likely as not. He's just a con artist, Heldar.
The dwarf commented, talking to the halfling.
I know that, Heldar replied. But still, he matches the description we were given, and what if he is telling the truth? Are we really this close to finding out who's kidnapping people?
Just because we've got a location doesn't mean we're close, the half-orc said. You still got to get into their hideout and get out alive without starting a fight.
And if a fight does break out, you're going to be right in the middle of it, Orith,
the dwarf commented.
And you won't? The Thrakai asked. Beodin, we all know how eager you are to get into a scuffle.
Fighting those kidnappers might not be the best idea, the halfling pointed out. We still know nothing about them.
They're probably just ruffians.
Orith, the half-orc, waved his mug dismissively.
Nothing I haven't handled before, unless you three are suddenly too chicken to go up against a few lowlifes, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Beodin the dwarf agreed, giving the half-orc a bit of a glare for suggesting he might be scared.
Heldar, all you gotta do is sneak into their hideout, find whatever information you think will be useful, and get back out. If a fight starts, we'll deal with it.
As she listened, the Dark Elf saw that she wasn't the only one taking interest. 2 cloaked and hooded figures were carefully edging towards the 4 people she was listening to, trying their best to stay out of sight. She could instantly tell that they, like herself, had been trained to move silently.
Once the others get back, we should probably go, the halfling suggested, drawing her attention back to their conversation. I don't think this town has been taken yet, but we should still be careful.
Agreed. Varun's brassy scales glittered in the light of the fire as he moved slightly. The Dark Elf noticed that a few of the scales appeared more gold than brass, almost like little freckles along his arms and around his eyes.
What? You think we can't handle a few thugs?
The half-orc leaned back in his chair, crossing his arms. His chair creaked as he moved.
It's not thugs I'm worried about.
The Thrakai glanced around the tavern, probably seeing an unexpected bit of movement from somewhere. The Dark Elf pulled back into the shadows to avoid being spotted, and saw that the 2 people she had seen a second before, who had probably been the movement the warrior saw, did as well. Fortunately, He didn't seem to spot her.
You think this group might have people here?
Bearden fingered one of the silver bands braided into his beard.
I doubt it.
Well, hopefully the others will notice if something's wrong before there's any trouble, the halfling muttered. Where are they?
Vala didn't know who he was talking about, but the topic of the conversation seemed to have switched. Her best guess was that he was meaning other members of their group. Karnak had said there were more.
Talking to people, probably.
Orith set his mug of ale on the table.
They've had more luck than us so far.
I'm not too surprised,
Helder quipped. His pale blue eyes glittered as he gave the half-orc a teasing smile.
You three are a little intimidating.
What? Us?
Even though Orith wasn't facing her, the dark elf was fairly sure she saw him intentionally trying to flex. He was clearly showing off. She glanced around again and realized a third figure had joined the two she had previously seen.
All right, we've waited long enough,
the dwarf decided, standing up.
Let's go find him.
A breath of chilly air stirred him awake. Some door in the house must have opened. He sat up in bed, cold and annoyed, then wrapped his thick blanket around his shoulders as he got up to find who was coming in at this dreadful hour. As he stepped into the main room of his family's house, he saw no one. The fire that usually at least smoldered in the fireplace was out, and no one was in sight. The sound of his quiet footsteps was all he could hear. Then, a terrified cry rang out from out in the town. He ran to the window to find parts of the town ablaze and people running through the streets. He spun around again, intent on getting his father up, but he turned right into a darkly clad man swinging a club at his head. He felt the sudden jarring pain as it hit him, then empty nothingness as his world went black.